Great to have you listening in here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Turning our attention now to Wisconsin's artisanal cheeses. Man, we have some great cheeses, cheese makers in this state. And we have a great person who writes about them and spends a lot of time working with those people, Jeannie Carpenter. She is the executive director of Wisconsin Cheese Originals. It's an organization dedicated to sharing information about the new artisan cheeses and the wonderful cheese-making culture that we have here in Wisconsin. And I hope you'll join in. Maybe you have a favorite cheese or cheese maker. What do you love about it? You make a point to buy our Wisconsin cheeses. Hope you do. Give us a call. Join in at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org. Or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. You can post a question or a comment right there. And Jeannie Carpenter with me in the studio. Great to have you back.
Thanks so much for having me, Larry.
Tell us what you brought. Because
Okay. You
brought some really good cheeses here.
I did. I raided my fridge of all of the good stuff. My husband's going to be like, oh, where'd the cheese go when he gets home? I brought three different cheeses, and the one that I'm probably the most excited about is a little round white cheese. It's a brand new Farmstead Brie, and it's made by Caprine Supreme under the Lavon Farmstead Farmhouse Brie label. It's just hitting the markets this week. It's at Fromagination today. This is really the first Farmstead, true Farmstead Brie cheese, I think, on the market in Wisconsin. And one of the reasons I'm so excited about it is that this cheesemaker has a really great story. You know, folks may remember Caprine Supreme goat yogurt on the market a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And the owners of that, Todd and Cheryl Jaskowski, had some health issues. They had to sell their goat herd. But now they've revamped their Farmstead cheese plant and are now making these awesome little brie cheeses, both goat and cow, and just really reminiscent, I think, of true Farmstead French brie. You know, they're not beautiful. This is the thing that I really want people to know about some artisan cheese in Wisconsin is it's sometimes not perfect. It's not cookie cutter. This doesn't have, you know, that perfect white downy rind on it. It's made with real Geotrichum candidum, so it's got some yellows, some reds. But yeah, I mean, Larry, you can taste the difference, right? His mouth
is full.
It's
unbelievable. It's unbelievably good.
Yeah, so that's really one of my, and that cheese just hit the market this week. It's official debut is this Friday night at my festival, my Meet the Cheesemaker Gala at the Monona Terrace, but you get a preview of it.
Wow, it is so good. And once again, run it by Wisconsin Farmstead Brie.
Yes. It's called Lavon.
Lavon.
Made by Caprine Supreme.
It's just so creamy. It just kind of melts in your mouth.
It is. And, you know, the cool thing about this cheese is that, you know, brie is really made to be eaten between 3 and 6 weeks old. Therefore, it does not have a large shelf life. And
mm-hmm.
So Todd is making this cheese to order. So if a cheese shop wants this cheese, they give him a 3-week notice. He makes the wheels specifically for them and then ships them. And then they have 3 weeks to sell.
Oh.
So it's a completely different distribution method than I think, you know, commodity cheese is used to. But I think the taste makes it worth it.
Oh, it is absolutely wonderful. Okay, so that's the brie.
Okay, and then another cheese I brought, completely different. It's you know, a dark yellow, almost a golden color, and it's a sheep's milk cheese called Dante, and it's made by the Wisconsin Sheep Dairy Cooperative. It's 100% cheese, and this piece is more than a year old. You're going to notice the difference in texture right away, and an aged sheep's milk cheese to me is almost like eating candy.
Mm.
It's sweet. It's got the pineapple, the caramel notes. It's got protein crystals in there, so you're hitting little bursts of flavor. And this cheese, I think, has really changed in about the last year because the Wisconsin Sheep Dairy Cooperative has taken over all the aging of their cheeses. They're still made at Cedar Grove Cheese in Plain, Wisconsin, but they've brought a professional affineur, or a person who ages cheese for a living, that's mm-hmm. what she does, on staff, and opened a new facility up north. And so they're aging these cheeses themselves, and I think if you haven't had Dante in a while, this cheese has been on the market for, you know, 7-8 years. If you haven't had it lately, buy it, because it's a completely different cheese. And, I mean, it was good.
Really good.
It was good before, but now it's just stellar.
So what's the difference on the aging? I mean, what is it? How do you make a good, how do you age it well?
Well, cheese is, I kind of refer to it as, it's like a baby. It needs constant care. You have to watch over it. It's a living thing. You really need someone looking at it every day, whether that's washing it, scrubbing it, flipping it, you know, scraping off the mold that you don't want, encouraging the molds that you do want. It's anyone who ages cheese will tell you that you have to be in that aging room every day, looking almost at every single wheel every day. And that's pretty labor intensive. And that's why, you know, artisan cheeses like this cost a little bit more, because there's a little bit more love put in them.
Wow. I'm telling you, it's really good. Jeannie Carpenter, our guest today, talking about artisanal cheeses, our artisan cheeses and cheese makers here in Wisconsin. You can join in with a question or comment at 1-800-642-1234. Boy, I wish you could be here to sample these cheeses. They are really good. Judah's sitting there looking in the other studio like, why do you need to get in here and get those cheeses?
Don't worry, Judith. We'll bring them over to you after the show.
Boy, I'll tell you what. Give us a call with your questions and comments at 1-800-642-1234. Caller Therese loves Okooch Mountain sheep cheese made by Hidden Springs Creamery. She says it's amazing there in Westby.
It is. That, you know, we don't have very many sheep's milk cheesemakers in Wisconsin, but Hidden Springs in Westby is one of the best. That's another example of a farmstead cheesemaker doing everything right. You know, the family's milking the sheep. They're making the cheese right on the farm. The aging facility's right on the farm. Cheesemaker Brenda Jensen is touching those cheeses every day. You know, whether it's making new cheeses, whether it's flipping and scrubbing the aging cheeses. I can't say enough good things about Hidden Springs.
Why is Wisconsin such a great place to make cheese? Is it?
You know, I think, you know, there's several reasons. I think a lot of it has to do with our climate. We grow really good grass in the state of Wisconsin. And I think a lot of people, they don't think about the fact that cheese comes from milk, and milk comes from an animal that's eating grass. And very often, the quality of grass or forages that an animal is eating, whether it's a cow or a goat or sheep, has a huge impact on the quality of the milk and the quality of the cheese. So I think it goes first back to our grass, but then obviously the skill and the heritage and the education resources of our cheesemakers obviously has a whole lot to do with it.
Yeah, we have some pretty smart men and women.
Yes.
Making cheese here in the state.
Yes. Cheese making is both an art and a science, and there's not a lot of people that have both those sides of the brain that can, you know.
I am not
one of them, I know. But cheesemakers, they seem to be able to combine art and science into making really good cheese, because you have to know more than, you know, than pH and rennet and culture. But you also have to have the artistry of it. And it seems like Wisconsin cheesemakers are getting better and better at that.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I think it's just wonderful. Those two cheeses, you brought a third cheese too. We should just mention that one right now.
I did, yes. Yeah. So the third cheese, this is just an 8-year cheddar.
Oh, man.
From Hooks Cheese in Mineral Point. You know, Hooks has been on the radar for 20, 30 years. And it's just really amazing to see a couple, Tony and Julie, still making just absolutely stellar cheeses. You know, this is an 8-year cheddar. This is an orphan that I picked up from Imagination. This is probably an eighth of a pound. And that's all that you need of this cheese. You know, yes, the cheese, you know, it's going to put you back about $30 a pound. But if you only need an eighth of it, that's not too bad. It has such a, you know, such a rich and filling taste.
Oh, it's wonderful. Gerald in Iola has a comment. Hi, Gerald.
Hello.
And what's on your mind?
Well, what I'm going to tell you is my uncles were all cheesemakers, and they sold out, some time ago. But they always told me that the secret to good cheese is having the cow have good water. Like, there's no alkali in our water here. You go out west, you got alkali water, which gets back into the cheese. So the trick is giving the cow good water.
Yeah, I would agree with that because, you know, the same climate factors that allow us to grow good grass in Wisconsin also mean that we have good water. We have limestone-filtered water. That not only allows the animals to drink good water, but it allows cheesemakers to use good water. Cheesemaking is a really water-intensive process, and you can't make good cheese if you have bad water. So, yeah, you're exactly right.
Oh, thank you very much for calling. I appreciate that call. Yeah, good water, good rain, makes for good grass that they're eating. So, yeah, water, obviously, very, very important. Talking with Jeannie Carpenter, Executive Director of Wisconsin Cheese Originals, about Wisconsin's artisan cheeses, and certainly looking forward to hearing what you have to say, your questions and comments as well. We have some people online. What about you? You can join us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. She'll be with us right up until noon. If you list words associated with Wisconsin, the word cheese would probably be pretty close at the top of the list, whether it's a very sharp cheddar or maybe a creamy goat cheese or those squeaky curds we're famous for. It's a big part of our culture. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Glad you could join us today on the Ideas Network. Jeannie Carpenter is passionate about cheese and about supporting the work of our Wisconsin cheesemakers. And through her Wisconsin Cheese Originals, she spreads the word about great artisans and artisan cheeses around the state. Maybe you have a favorite cheese or cheesemaker from Wisconsin. Love to hear from you. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. You can also visit our Facebook page to leave a question or a comment there. Like the page while you're there. We'll send you regular updates on upcoming show topics. We'd love to have you do that. We'll be back right after the news. Few things say Wisconsin like cheese does, and we are lucky to have someone like Jeannie Carpenter who supports and promotes our great cheesemakers here in the state. She's Executive Director of Wisconsin Cheese Originals. It's an organization dedicated to sharing information about new artisan cheeses and the wonderful cheesemaking culture we have in the state. And Jeannie, always great to have you with us. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks so much for having me.
We have on my Facebook page as well, we have a link. And where is it? I had it here just a minute ago. A link to your event that's coming up. And maybe you can tell us a little bit about this.
Sure. This weekend is already the fourth annual, can't believe it, Wisconsin Cheese Originals Festival. Been doing this for the last several years at Monona Terrace. About 1,000 people from all over the country come to Wisconsin to meet Wisconsin cheesemakers, taste their cheeses. We have Friday all-day tours. Friday night is, of course, the big Meet the Cheesemaker Gala, where folks love to meet, I think I have 47 different cheesemakers there this year. More than 200 cheeses going to be sampled. And then Saturday is the educational day. We have seminars going on all day, pairings, cheesemakers talking. Ari Weinzweig from Zingerman's is coming in this year to do a keynote speech. And then Saturday evening, as always, are the dinners going on all around Madison at Madison Originals Restaurants, where I'm partnering chefs with cheesemakers, and they make unique three-course dinners.
Yeah, so wonderful. And there's still tickets available.
Yeah, there are. Everything's at wicheesefest.com.
Wicheesefest.com. Boy, it's going to be a lot of fun. Hope you have a chance to partake in some of it. You don't have to go to all of it, but probably couldn't get to all of it.
Well, I think if you went to all of it, you'd be in a cheese coma by the end of the weekend.
John in Highland up with us here. John, hi. Thank you for calling.
How you doing?
Good.
Great topic. One of my favorite topics, Wisconsin cheese. In fact, our family, it's such a favorite topic of our family. Last year, we bought two Jersey dairy cows and started making our own cheeses at home. My wife does it primarily. She's certainly perfected cheddar curds, and they're wonderful. We get fresh cheddar curds right from our cows, whenever we make them, every couple weeks or so. We've had some challenges with some of the types of cheeses in finding good education. When you have a problem with pH or with the texture, finding somebody to actually talk to. And I did write down the Wisconsin Cheese Fest information from this weekend. You kind of answered part of my question there. It sounds like Saturday would be a great time to go in and attend some of those classes.
Right. And, you know, with artisan cheese really becoming more popular around the nation, we were very lucky in the United States to have several centers for dairy research. Probably the preeminent one is actually right here in Madison, Wisconsin.
Yep.
It's called the Center for Dairy Research. There's three or four of the top dairy scientists in the world on staff there. And that really is their job, John, to answer questions about cheesemaking. So, you know, Google Center for Dairy Research, give them a call. They'll put you in their pipeline and return your call. I found another really good resource in particular for artisan cheesemakers is the Vermont Artisan Cheese Council.
Hmm.
They've been putting on some really nice 2 to 3 day courses on perfecting small batch farmstead artisan cheeses, and I've seen some of their course listings. I've talked to some Wisconsin cheesemakers who've gone out to those classes, and they have nothing but good things to say.
Oh, excellent! Thank you, John.
Resources. Thanks for your help. Appreciate it.
Yeah, appreciate it very much. Your call. Melody in Greenfield. Hi to you. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Thanks for having me. I wanted to ask Ms. Carpenter a little more specifically about apprenticeship opportunities, because I'm in culinary school right now, and I don't like quite have it in me to just start cheesing on my own, but I know there are so many different farmsteads around, and not necessarily around my area, but around the state. And I would love to travel and sort of get to know some of these artists and how they're doing what they're doing. Do you have any advice for that?
Sure. Well, you know, one of the best things to do is, you know, find a couple of cheesemakers that you really admire and give them a call. And see, you know, during the downtime or maybe the off time of their season, see if they could spend, you know, a half a day with you and answer some of your questions, get you connected. The thing about the Wisconsin cheesemaker industry is that it's a pretty tight-knit circle. And so I found the struggle is getting into the circle. Once you're in the circle, cheesemakers take care of their own. And it's just really a matter of getting you connected probably to the right person. And if they see that you have the passion and the desire to do this for a living, they will get you connected. So my advice would, look up a couple of the cheesemakers that you really admire, give them a call, see if, you know, it might start with maybe, you know, a 15-minute phone call, and you know, they'll be able to judge pretty quickly your level of interest and go from there.
Okay. And would downtime be more like this fall, winterish time? Or
yes.
Like, what am I?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would probably wait until after the holidays because cheesemakers are really ramping up production. But January and February are really the perfect time. That's usually the time I start to hit up cheesemakers to do stuff for me. you know, later in the year when they're not quite so busy, they're more likely to say yes. So, that's my secret of asking cheesemakers to do stuff. Hit them up in January and February.
Okay, thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Thanks a lot for calling. And Chris, who I think grew up in Plymouth area. Hi, thank you for calling.
How are you?
Wonderful. What's on your mind?
Well, I am enjoying this show more than I can express. I want to know, I recently heard, that somebody was making Leader Crunch cheese again in the state of Wisconsin. My grandfather was a cheesemaker, so I grew up eating some of the most fabulous cheeses ever. And on special occasions, he would share Leader Crunch cheese with me. then many, many years ago, the cheese factory and the culture was destroyed by fire.
Oh.
So I haven't had Liederkranz cheese in over 45 years, and I think about my experiences with my grandfather and eating that cheese, and I was wondering if Jeannie maybe could answer the question if there's actually somebody making it in the state of Wisconsin again.
Well, Chris, I have extremely good news for you. The answer is yes. 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 Chalet Cheese Cooperative in Monroe, you know, they're the only cheesemaker in the whole United States that still make Limburger cheese, which is, you know, washed, rind, stinky cheese. And
yes.
Liederkranz.
Well, this one outdoes it.
Yeah. Liederkranz is a close second. And a couple of years ago, Myron Olson at Chalet, due to popular demand, started making Liederkranz again. The company that owned the recipe, shared it with Myron. So although the original cultures were lost, the culture that goes into Limburger cheese is very, very similar. And the culture that Myron's been using with his Limburger, that was propagated back in the 1920s. Mm. And he's been using that same culture ever since, just, you know, re-propagating it. Mm. So I think that if you get a wedge of today's Liederkranz, I think it should taste pretty close to what you remember.
Wow.
And could you repeat the name of the company again? It's in Monroe, you said?
Yes. Chalet Cheese Cooperative.
Oh, you have made my day. made my day. My grandfather and grandmother were cheesemakers right outside of Plymouth. And then they sold, of course, their cheese factory to the bigger cheese factories. And my grandfather went on to be a state inspector. So as a little girl, he would often take me on his inspection.
Oh,
and
cool.
Sheboygan County Fair, he was always a judge for cheese. So I have a passion for cheese. And I am so excited about maybe getting a slice of Liederkranz. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Good.
Thanks, Chris, for calling. Well, now you've got me interested. I want to. I haven't tried it, but I'm always up for a new adventure with cheese, that's for sure. Rod in Weyerhaeuser, thank you for calling. Hi.
Yeah, thank you. I just wanted to mention, we have brown Swiss, and I know my dad, the food for thought. He said that the brown Swiss had the most solid, and they made the best cheese.
Hmm.
So that's... I just figured I'd throw that in there.
All right. Well.
Well, Rod, you know, many a cheesemaker would agree with you, especially down in Greene County. You know, brown Swiss cows were pretty much all that used to be down in Greene County. And there's still several farmers milking brown Swiss. And the milk that comes from those cows is in high demand. And that's because milk that comes naturally from a brown Swiss is higher in butterfat. And butterfat is good for cheesemaking. So you'll see Greene County cheesemakers quite often fighting over those brown Swiss milk.
All right, there you go. Thank you, Rod, for calling. And we've had quite a few people asking you to repeat the three cheeses that that you brought along. And Judith took a picture. Judith, we got that up on the Facebook page yet? Or she's putting it up, I think.
Okay.
On the Facebook page. So what have we got here?
Well, the brand new one that it's only in from imagination right now, but I would encourage listeners to ask your favorite cheese shop to carry it, is called Lavon. So it's LA-VON Farmhouse Brie. And it's available both in cow milk and goat milk. I've had both. I brought the cow milk for Larry today. I've got the goat milk in my fridge. Both are just absolutely stellar. These are brand new cheeses, and Todd Jaskowski would greatly appreciate if you want to spread the word on his brie cheeses. The second one is called Dante, D-A-N-T-E. It's a 100% sheep's milk cheese, and it's made by the Wisconsin Sheep Dairy Cooperative, and that's a group made of 15 dairy sheep farmers who all pool their milk and then have Wisconsin cheese made from that.
So it's a Wisconsin Sheep?
Wisconsin Sheep Dairy Cooperative.
Oh, Sheep Dairy Cooperative.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then the third cheese is Hook's Aged Cheddar. And the one I brought is 8 years. I'm really partial to anything in the 6 to 8 year range. I think that the price point is about right. and the flavor and the texture just can't be beat. You know, not to say there's anything wrong with the 10-year and even the 15-year that Tony's going to be having coming out, you know, this Christmas. But if you're looking for a really good, solid aged cheddar, you know, Hook's 6 to 8 year, that's the sweet spot.
And now what's the story, I'm trying to recall it, of the cheese place that was closing or something, and they found some cheese in the in the back.
Yes, yes. This is a case of poor inventory, Larry. Yes, I got to write the press release for the Wisconsin Cheese Mart on this. Mark Letts called me up and asked me to help him tell the story, and it was a really good one. A cheesemaker by the name of Ed Zahn, you know, made cheese for years and years in Wisconsin. Basically retired from cheesemaking due to health reasons, and then opened up a retail store and warehouse right next door and proceeded to run that for like the next 20, 25 years. And at age 91, his wife told him he finally had to retire. So he sold the business, and in the process of selling the business, they obviously had to empty out all of the buildings. And in the corner of the warehouse, they found some blocks of cheese that had literally been there for 40 years. So they had a 40-year block of cheddar. Now, the quality of this cheese was a little less to be desired. The outside of it, I mean, it was an inch thick just of white calcium lactate crystals. I mean, Ed told me that looked like a nuclear bomb had hit it. And, you know, on the inside, you know, the taste wasn't stellar, but you know, they still sold it. They cut it up. They served it, because who doesn't really want to say they've, you know, eaten a 40-year piece of cheddar?
That's a great
and,
story.
And live to tell about it.
That was a great story. Leonard and Woodruff, thanks for calling. Hi.
Yes, I appreciate you taking my call. I have a question. I'm going to go to it directly, but I got comments after that. There was a cheesemaker at the Blue Moon Cheese Factory in Thorpe, Wisconsin, and he made a cheese called Golden Rich. And that, to me, it was like 4 inches thick and about 10 inches in diameter. It came in a red paraffin wax. And it was the mildest, tastiest cheese I ever ate in my life. And let me tell you why I say that. I'm 70-plus years old, and my dad sold an acre of land to his brother-in-law on a corner of two streets, and he built a cheese factory there. And I grew up eating cheese when he gave me a milk carton to stand on it and pull out my little fingers full of cheese in both hands. And I've been eating cheese for 78 years, and I right now got about 5 or 6 different kinds of cheese in my refrigerator. My question is, if that man registered his Golden Rich in Wisconsin, wouldn't there be a record of how it's made or anything? Because no one has ever made it, and people believe he went to his grave with the recipe.
Well, Leonard, I often think that perhaps I was born about 50 years too late listening to your story. I would have absolutely loved to have grown up in a cheese factory and eaten the cheese right out of the vat like you did. You know, I've not heard of that cheese factory. I've not heard of that cheese, and that doesn't really surprise me, because you know, there are literally thousands of cheese factories that have gone by the wayside in Wisconsin, and thousands of cheeses where the cheesemaker did go to the grave with his recipe. Now, you know, if he trademarked the Golden Ridge name, that would still exist, but that doesn't mean the recipe survived. And unfortunately, it just may be a case of one of those, you know, really good memories of cheeses that we're not going to get back. You know, it reminds me of cheddars. You know, in the 1920s, there was a cheese factory about every 4 to 5 miles, because that was about how far the horses pulling the wagons could bring the milk cans. And old cheesemakers will tell you that every cheese factory had their own taste of cheddar, because they were all using their own culture.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it had been passed down from generation to generation. And so a cheddar in one valley would taste different than a cheddar from a valley, you know, 20 miles away. Completely different. And
Amazing, isn't it?
I think it's a shame that we've lost that. You know, I think there's a thing to be said for, you know, the terroir, the taste of place. And unfortunately, your Golden Ridge cheese may have gone that direction.
Sorry for that, Leonard. Thank you so much for calling. I appreciate your call. And we're a little short of time here, but we got a little more time. Jan and Rhinelander. Hi to you.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I grew up going to a little country cheese store in Moseley, Wisconsin called Vendors, and I remember always going there and getting the cheese. And another thing I remember is getting their cream in a quart jar. My mom would always get fresh cream. And my question is, and so to this day, every time I take a road trip somewhere, if I see a little cheese factory, I always stop. My question is, do most of these artisanal cheese factories, do they still have little retail stores, or do they mostly market their cheese through various retail outlets?
You know, several of the, especially the farmstead cheesemakers, do have retail outlets on their farms, because what they find is that they don't make usually enough production that a distributor is interested in them. For example, you know, they're not capable of making a pallet of cheese to be shipped mm-hmm. across the country. And, you know, frankly, that's not what artisan cheese is about. It's about small batch, you know, handmade cheeses. So many of the Wisconsin in particular farmstead cheesemakers have been adding retail shops to their farms. And, you know, I mean, an example is a Nordic Creamery in Westby. That's Al and Sarah Beckham. You know, they have a farm. And, I mean, it is literally in the middle of nowhere. I mean, you drive to Westby, and then you drive, like, another 6 miles over hills and dales and around corners, and there's a couple of signs. But eventually, you come upon their farmstead cheese retail store and factory. And, you know, I go there, you know, 3 or 4 times a year, and every time I drive in, that place is packed.
Yeah.
People will drive to these places to get good quality products.
Yeah.
It's become a destination and experience. And so, yeah, I mean, the good news for you is that more and more of these artisan farmstead cheesemakers are adding retail stores because they know people like you will drive there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And how do you find those places? Just search it on the internet, or
yeah, you know, the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board has a great website called Eat Wisconsin Cheese, and if you go there, they have some really nice searchable maps, some tools that you can use to find those places.
Mm-hmm. Sure, I've been to that. Okay, thanks very much.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it very much. Stephanie in Ashland says she likes the Sassy Nanny goat cheeses out of Herbster.
Oh, yes. You know, that's another brand new farmstead goat cheese, way up north. the cheesemaker is Michael Stanitis. He's actually, he's not going to have his cheeses at my festival because he's a seasonal producer, but he's going to be hanging out with Ann Topham at her table, you know, the matriarch of goat cheese in Wisconsin, and they're going to be sampling her cheese. So, yeah, come say hello to Michael at the festival.
And again, let's talk the specifics on the festival.
Sure, sure. So the signature event is the Meet the Cheesemaker Gala. It's Friday night, this coming Friday, November 9th at Monona Terrace. Tickets are on sale at wicheesefest.com. They're $29 each, and gives you access to 46 different cheesemakers and 200 different cheeses. It's my favorite event of the year.
Oh, absolutely. But there's a whole lot more.
Yeah, there's everything a la carte. I mean, you can kind of pick and choose what you want to do at the festival. And I do it that way because Larry was right. You can't do it all. You'd go overdose in cheese.
And I should say that on my Facebook page, we have a link to your site. And your site again is Wisconsin.
Yeah, wicheesefest.com.
Wicheesefest.
Or you can go to wisconsincheeseoriginals.com, and they're all linked.
Jeannie, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's always fun.
Jeannie Carpenter, executive director of Wisconsin Cheese Originals. Boy, she's done a wonderful job of sharing information about our Wisconsin cheeses and our Wisconsin cheese makers. She's just done a great job. With an outfit that she got started and has done just fantastic work with. I hope you'll take a look at her site. And thank you for listening. Tomorrow, wildlife ecologist Scott Craven joins us to talk about the world of wildlife I'm Larry Mueller with Judith Sears-Poisson here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.